Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our politics, and in the world around us. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana, and I hope to soon be joined by Mark Woltz and Ann Ortley. And if you'd like to call in tonight, 347-215-8881. And that takes us to the Mercury retrograde stories. Mercury is thoroughly retrograde in its own sign of of Gemini, which is bringing out the snafus from the woodwork. You can count how many times I say something wrong this week, which will be funny to watch. And we're watching the more disastrous aspects of this coming in from the news as well. And I think I'm joined by Mark. Is that Mark Woltz?
Hello, Heather. Yes, it's Mark.
How wonderful to speak to you. Have you had any good Mercury retrograde stories this week?
The other day, everybody got every message wrong.
Isn't that frustrating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was just frustrating. And that can happen. It can. Every day.
And Saturday Night Live even mentioned Mercury retrograde. It was saying, you know, full moon, a lunar eclipse on Friday the 13th. And as your most annoying friend says, and Mercury is in retrograde, you know, which was pretty funny to see, to get it Saturday Night Live. I said, annoying? Question mark. But it also, you know, that was a tough weekend. And where we can just feel dense. I was very quiet this weekend. We didn't feel like talking much, you know, dug in the garden, and that was good. But for people who are obsessive or had one screw loose to begin with, or several in a negative way, we had several shootouts where people went off and shot people they did not know, the Chinese man shooting the Taiwanese in California, and the guy from upstate New York that drove several hours to shoot people in Buffalo. That they were both attacking an internal prejudice, because, and again, I think it was, you know, a mental imbalance looking for a place to go rather than they were really that dedicated to their racism, because when it happened. But it was truly horrible experiences. There was a client just sent me a notice from Maui how there was a homicide, and the person, they arrested the wrong person at first because a witness misidentified a suspect, and they lost track of the person for a little while and had to go looking for them. You know, that's so sad. Sad, and yet you get that process happening over and over again. Oh, wait, how did you notice the full moon, either in the headlines or in your experience, that lunar eclipse left at 25 Taurus to Scorpio?
Well, I'm waiting for it to hit.
Mm-hmm. Because
you know,
it does
sometimes
hit.
We don't notice right away.
Mm-hmm.
Something's already happened, but I'm not aware of it yet.
Now, a friend of mine, her 92-year-old father has been in the hospital for 4 weeks, and he keeps saying he's getting better, but his condition is declining. And his son is at 25 Taurus, and her Saturn is at 25 Capricorn, and his wife has another planet at that degree. And, you know, I was watching, did he make it through that night? He made it through that night, but it looks like he's in a process. And often you'll see an eclipse trigger a process that it doesn't necessarily occur at that moment, but it will within the next lunar cycle. So you
right.
see the beginnings of it happen, and then during that, it, you know, death is an example. So is a breakup of a relationship or the ending of something that I've also see someone drop their self-doubt and get a chance to step forward and take on a job they really wanted, because it asks you to let go of something that, you know, maybe was overripe. And I think of the obsessive guy in Buffalo who shot those 10 people in the supermarket, in the, in quotes, friendly supermarket. And he, you know, was already had been a mistake, because a year ago when at the end of his school year, they had people, you know, what are your ambitions? What do you hope to do next? And he said, pull and kill myself. And they called the police and they brought him into the hospital for evaluation, then let him go. And no one red flagged him. So he was able to purchase a gun.
A weapon. Yep.
And he took his father's weapon, I believe, and purchased another one. And that's just crazy. I feel like we're kind of getting an assessment of our problems and of our obstacles in this cycle. So I hope everybody, you know, can notice that their thinking can be a little off. Most people, when their thinking is a little off, don't go on a rampage. You know, the millions of people did not this week. In New Mexico, there's been real difficulty getting the word out for evacuations. They've got the biggest fire they've ever had, and there are three major fires going. One of them, you know, you'd have to drive for an hour and a half to get from one end of the fire to the north, from the south end of the fire to the north end of the fire. And it's huge. It's 200,000 acres plus. And they've had to clear out a lot of very old, small Hispanic towns. You think Milagro Beanfield War, up in those beautiful mountains up near Mora. It's so beautiful. And it's, you know, a way of life that's been there for hundreds of years. And some of the old Pueblo remains also. So that it hasn't hit any of the living Pueblos, as far as I know, but it has hit some old historic sites. And it's sad to see them go, but that's going to be part of climate change, is that you see large shifts in ecosystem. It's not going to grow back the way it was. It's going to grow to a more arid climate.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is sad.
So my aunt lives near Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Oh, tell me about
that.
Last
time she had rain. It just hasn't rained for months and months.
Oh, that's so hard.
Yeah.
That's so hard. Yep. And we've had, gracefully, a wet spring here. But that means it's beautiful and lush at the moment. In a few weeks, it's going to stop raining, and all the foliage that grows up under the overcast spring then dries to a cinder.
Yes.
So luckily it's rained fairly late in the season, so the trees are pretty well hydrated, which means it will delay the fire season, for which we are grateful. Whereas North Dakota is flooded, and the river there runs north rather than south, and it's often frozen still at the north end. And so the river doesn't really have a place to drain into, and it's a very flat area that's that had a lot of snow this winter. That whole area, it's, you know, they used to say, spill a bucket, drown a county, along the Fargo North Dakota area. So, well, it'd be interesting to see how that all works. I'm a little worried about next week. It could just give us more energy. We, you know, a lot of people felt very tired this week. Mars conjuncts Neptune exactly. And that, you know, can be also stirs the, you know, the pot of the psyche. And it can be spur on spiritual practice. It can, you know, help it rain where it needs to rain. But it can also bring out anger around spirituality and, you know, emotional situations. But then Mars in a week goes into Aries, and we may have a lot more energy then, but it's going to immediately conjunct Jupiter. And so Mars conjunct Jupiter, which is highly combustible and competitive in Aries. Venus is already in Aries and moving into a square with Pluto, all while Mercury is retrograde. So what do you think with Jupiter, Mars, Neptune, Mars conjunction in Pisces, which is today and tomorrow at 24 Pisces?
You mentioned the weather. It definitely can affect the weather. You can have Mars in Pisces conjuncting Neptune, which is long-term in Pisces, and we're looking at water. So any form of water can be flooding, can be any submerged things. That's one thing. But it also, it gives a lot of energy toward helping others that we don't even know. Kind of the blood helping of. So we can give good energy to helping people who need it.
Yeah.
I would say look for opportunities to do that, even on a simple level.
That's a good way of describing it. You know, that, you know, a higher level of that is active compassion, which is beautiful.
Yeah. And the sun being still in Taurus on its way out, it'll trine Pluto this week. So that's on Thursday. And that can bring opportunities for people to step up and take new responsibility, take on new roles, be seen for, so, you know, go ahead and flex a little bit on Thursday.
Those are all great ways of putting it.
Yeah, it's especially things that you do you'll be noticed for. So go ahead and take advantage of that. Especially for introverts.
Yes. And Mercury is going to retrograde back into Taurus, forming a trine to Pluto. And that, I think, asking us to go deep. You know, it's keep running introspection. There's a lot of stories coming up from the past with Mercury retrograde. And it always is with Mercury retrograde, but this one in its own sign of Gemini. And that allows us to take, you know, where our buzzy minds go and take it a little deeper. You know, research something that occurs to you, study something that interests you, go to a little deeper in your own story. I would suggest with that trine coming up. But it's a stabilizing trine, which is good. We can use all the stabilization we can get in this kind of crazy time.
Yeah.
Over the next 2 days, the sun trines Pluto. I think, you know, some tough stories are coming out, but may be helpful for us to see what's really going on in a few places.
Yeah, I just noticed that Mars, after conjuncting Neptune a few days later, it sextiles Pluto. And we say it translates the light from Neptune to Pluto. So our actions have a way of combining Neptune with Pluto, bringing light from compassion to control. And I can see some places that could be used.
Yes, indeed.
Around the globe, you know, where there's conflict. The conflict can be understood on a more human level. And then we can change the structures that set up the inequality that led to the conflict.
That's so beautiful.
What we see and what we have compassion for, when we get to the Mars sextile Pluto, there's a way to change the structure, the deeper structure.
Wonderful. Yeah.
That's this week. And that can play out in all of our individual lives as well. Somewhere, maybe toward yourself, needing some compassion and understanding. And when you get that, then you can see how it has influenced some of your deeper motivations. And those are ripe for change.
And, you know, again, I think the idea of active compassion, of investigating deeper, and as you said before, active compassion, putting your heart into action, and notice that changes your attitude, it changes your environment, it changes your feeling about which way the universe is heading, which I think we could use. So we've got a list of callers. Let's take one and see how far we get. Take a caller. Hello, area code 480-290. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. I was wondering how the eclipse is affecting my chart, and my birthday is June 24th, 1959, 10:20 a.m., Neptune City, New Jersey.
10:20 a.m. in Neptune City. One of astrologers' favorite towns, city. just because.
Yeah.
Neptune City, New Jersey. Okay. And though they mean being by the water rather than the planet. So did you feel it in any particular way? It's close to an aspect in your chart, but it didn't hit it directly. But it was near. It hit your you have Moon at 22 Aquarius, and Saturn's been going back and forth, and will go back over and hit your Moon again this year. And you have Jupiter at 23 Scorpio down in the third house, or close to the fourth house cusp, and the eclipse. So the eclipse was within 2 degrees of conjunct that Jupiter and 3 degrees of square that Moon. So that could have brought up some health issues for you, and it squared an asteroid called Vesta in your 12th house. It wasn't right on it. You have enough going on with Uranus squaring your Venus and Mars this year. It looks like there's a lot of potential changes and trying to make decisions about whether you make major changes or you just keep it. Did you find it? Was there an incident in your life around the eclipse, or did you?
Just being extremely tired and just kind of like uneasy feeling. And I saw that, I know the bottom, the mid-heaven and, you know, and the opposite is 25 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's what turned me.
Right. It's right on your midheaven and IC, and very close to that Jupiter and Saturn. So, you know, that, again, that can bring up any, for all of us, we had that the eclipse, any full moon brings up an opposition. How do we feel about our, where the moon is? And your moon was down there in the unconscious, down very active in the emotional realm. And the sun was saying, be busy in your work. And the work to the inner realm might have been, had some tension. And that can leave you kind of tired. But, you know, it will be interesting to see this month. Look for places where you are asked to choose between one or the other. But really the answer is both, and how do I timeshare between them?
Hmm. Okay. Well, the dreams have been absolutely off the chart.
I bet.
It's likely to stir up some family stuff, too, for you.
Hmm.
So keep an eye on that. Check in with everybody. See how they're doing. You know, that's when I have an aspect like that, I just start calling on going, hey, how you doing? Oh, you're fine. Good. Until I find the relative that could use a little extra support.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Good luck on that. And here's an example for somebody who had an eclipse but did not, was not triggered at that moment by an event, but it may set off something that asks her, she might feel the tension, or she just might feel tired, because with that Mars in Pisces, everybody's been feeling tired. And she, as she said, having huge dreams, that Mars conjunct Neptune in her chart, sextiling her midheaven, trining in to her Jupiter down there in the fourth house. But it didn't necessarily mean a major event in her life. And let's try this one. Hello, area code 917-582. You're on the air. How can we help you? Hello?
Hi. Yes, hi. My birthday is January 17th, 1956, and I was born at 12:15 a.m. in East Meadow, New York.
In East Meadow.
Yep, East Meadow, New York.
And how can we, and what's your question?
My question is, I've been thinking about moving, and I've been out searching. And I guess during this eclipse season, I've been changing my mind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that as a big thing for me.
So did you say what time again? I want to make sure I got it right.
12:15 a.m.
Just after midnight. Beautiful.
Yes.
So, yeah, I can see, you know, your moon is in Pisces natally. It's not exactly your idea of a fun time to be upsetting your home, is it?
No.
No. And do you feel your progressed moon just conjunct Jupiter, and your progressed moon is about to conjunct Pluto in about 3 months?
Wow.
So I would say that it's not like you really want to move, but you may feel like you have to move.
Yes,
Pluto,
I feel like
is,
I have to move.
Like Pluto is right there at the bottom of your chart. It's about to conjunct your IC.
Yep.
And, you know, that is kind of a death and rebirth of home. But it's a whole year-long transit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking and looking for something to buy, you know, it looks like you're making a decision, I would say, in the next 3 months. But to not, if you know, that you, if you want to wait until after that, you might feel more like once you know where you're going and you're moving into something, not just leaving. Right now, all I'm feeling is the mourning of feeling like you have to move rather than the joy of relocating to something you want.
Well, I actually submitted an offer on something.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel, I keep going back and forth with that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to find a good, you know, a really good community to go in, because this is probably my last move.
Yeah. Yeah. And it may be a little hard for you to tell all this year. I mean, if you waited until next spring, it might be easier for you to make that decision because Pluto will be on the other side of the IC. Pluto will be in your fourth house rather than in your third. And the moon will be past its conjunction to Pluto, but then it will be in Virgo. So you've got, you know, your progressed moon next heads into your 11th house and will help you build a new community.
Yeah,
I think that's the important thing, is to look for the best opportunity to meld into and
that's the one I'm having trouble with.
Whether you think that the community itself is right for you, is that the question?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything looked fine, but that's the one part that I couldn't, at least, you know, when you go on these tours, you can't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
The apartment looked great, but I wasn't sure about the community within the building.
Do you, I would say, can you go back there and walk? You've got that highly intuitive Pisces moon. You'll know just by spending time around there, like walking around and looking at the faces in the elevator and around the neighborhood.
The thing that I think I walked away there was that it seemed the lack of joy there.
Yeah, that won't work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust that you got the right impression.
Man, I've been second guessing myself because I really liked the space, but there was just something off.
Mm-hmm.
The
community is very
important.
Yes, I agree. I think that right now it doesn't look like it would be terrible. But finding a way where you feel like you won't be lonely because there will be interesting people to strike a conversation with is going to be very important to this next phase of your life.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Well, then that makes me feel better about my intuition then.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Good luck on
that. Yeah, you can trust it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye. And let's see to find out where that is. And I think we're almost done for the time. We have a minute left. And I think it's important for people. I couldn't see the eclipse. Did you see that eclipse, Mark?
No, the sky was clouded in.
We have a saying out here. If there is going to be, we can have clear skies for a month, but if there's going to be a major astronomical event, we can guarantee it's going to be cloudy. Is every time. and so this week, stay in your heart. Look for chances to take active compassion. Can you think of what would help their meditational practice, do you think, Mark, with that Mars-Neptune conjunction?
Yeah, I would say if you can, on your way to meditating, ask for actions. Ask to be shown what actions you can take.
Yeah, what is follow-through into the day.
Yeah.
So this is Heather Rowan Robbins signing out from Ronan, Montana, and Mark?
Mark Wold signing off from New York.
And we send our love to Ann Ortley out there down in Florida, and I know that she'll be heading up soon.
That's right.
I hope all is well, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Okay. Bye now.